Good morning. Happy Monday.
Sounds like a good song to kick off the week.
I think I need it today, Joel.
Yeah.
I think I need to be feeling all right. It was a beautiful weekend, and then every once in a while you get into a Monday and it feels like you're dropped into the bottom of an hourglass that you don't fit through. Like, whoa, we're getting squeezed.
Yeah, a little rainy Monday after a nice weekend. Good to see the fire dangers go down because things are greening up a little bit. So that's good. So check with your local folks before you burn that brush pile in the back 40. Had a discussion with my wife. Well, I didn't have a discussion with my wife. See, when I'm home on the weekend and it's a relaxing weekend, I don't know what other people do, but this is the general vibe in my house. It's pretty quiet, first of all. Usually the TV is off, or it might be on, muted, with a ball game on. My wife is usually playing some music. It may or may not be played loud. It might be in just in her headphones. But yesterday, my wife was playing music, and it was playing. It was playing through her tablet. I'm just like, it's gone. So my wife was playing a song, and it sounded to me like the artist sounded like Jewel. But I said to my wife, I said, is that Jewel? Because I'm a big fan of Jewel. I love her voice. I love her music. And my wife said, no, that's Evanescence. And I said, and then she said, and that's probably my favorite song right now. Everybody has that song. They're just like, I just want to hear that song again. I just want to hear that song again. And that was her song. Evanescence, and that's the name of the group or the artist or whatever, you know.
Yep.
You know. And she said to me, what's your favorite song? And I I wasn't ready for it, and I just said, probably a CNC Music Factory song. And her response was, and I said, that's an appropriate response. I said, I'm not proud of that response, but you asked me at this very moment if I could pick a song, and I was just like, yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here, that's the song that just came to mind, and I wasn't proud of it. My wife gave me the proper response of just, and then we went on with our day, and that was it.
And it ended right there.
It did. It ended right there. So I don't know what that Evanescence song. It sounded pretty good, though. My wife's got good musical taste. Me? Not so much.
Well, Evanescence, I'm thinking, what, is Bring Me to Life? Is that one of theirs?
It was a slow song, and I'm not sure.
Hits include, we could find it pretty easily, but it's not going to be played here anytime soon. It'll be over on Trail Mix, though. Yeah. That's for sure. 103.1 does have some Evanescence every once in a while. I found the thing. You asked me to pull up a thing. I got the thing.
Well, I do a lot of different things when I get a weekend to myself, and one of them is usually I'll go on like Facebook Reels and just be entertained by stuff on there. And this, there's two old guys that had sit on their front porch, and they're not bad singers. They're pickers and grinners, and they put this little thing on Facebook, and I thought it was worth sharing. With the world.
Let's see how we do here. Let's get the mute down. This might be loud to start.
All right.
Might be nothing at all. why are we completely muted on that? I honestly don't even know.
I'll let you work on that.
Yeah, I'll get that figured out a little bit here.
NFL draft over the weekend. You mentioned that the Badgers did not have anybody drafted the first time in over 40 years. My Gophers were on an 8-year run, and they got somebody in the 7th round, the last round they got drafted. But the NFL draft, I always like to see the rankings. The experts come out and they rank the draft. And I looked at the Packer draft, and I looked at the Vikings draft, and I thought to myself as a fan of the purple, it seemed like a pretty good draft. They addressed a lot of areas where they need people, and it seemed to be just fine. And then I go on and I see they ranked the Viking draft as a C. I'm just like, well, that's kind of mean. I mean, I thought the guys that they picked were at least the positions that they needed to be. So more on the draft at a moment, and here it is. The guys from the weekend, this made me.
If my nose was running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you.
They're called the Moron Brothers.
I'd build a Cadillac and a PT Cruiser, too. I'd build for you a mansion up on the mountaintop. If I know that only running money, but honey, it's not. It's the girl of the problem that I've got. Wish my nose running money, but it's not. I'd buy you a Cadillac and a new Mercedes too. If my nose running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you. If my nose running money, Honey, honey, I blowed all on you.
See, when Gray watches a video like that and hears, and he's just smiling and staring at it, I know it's good. These are a couple of stoutly elderly men, maybe in their 60s, I don't know, on a somewhere, I don't know if they're on a barn or there.
It looked like you plucked two guys off a tractor from any farming county in this country, including this one, would have been viable. I mean, like, hey, picture two guys in overalls. One of them's wearing a camo T-shirt underneath it. Yep, you got the guys. You nailed them. You're dead on.
So I threw that phrase at my wife. I said, have you ever heard the phrase, if my nose is running money, I'd blow it all on you? And she's like, no. And then she started just launching phrases at me from Western Wisconsin. And I was just like, you ever hear of that one? Never heard of that one. Never heard of that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, you get the right people. It's just, the thing is, those are never recorded anywhere. You know, you get that funny uncle. Nobody writes it down. Like,
You ever heard that line before, though?
No.
See, I've never heard that line before. That's why I thought it was hilarious.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. It's the kind of thing that I can't believe I haven't heard that before, and maybe it is older than I'm thinking. But if it's older than I'm thinking, how did it not get to me sooner? You know,
if my nose was running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you. That's a great line to use. That's a great pickup line.
Yeah. It's also a great backhanded compliment. It's kind of got a bless your heart kind of feeling to it. It's just like, you know, you sound nice when you say that. Then I think about it at all.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of ugly.
The process of the actual blowing. And you're like, wait a minute. Is this a compliment or
right.
is this not a compliment?
Yeah. Like, I know I'd enjoy the money but would I?
Yeah.
But would I?
So the Packers, I know you're itching to talk a little Packers because the draft is next to the Super Bowl for a lot of people. It's their favorite time. I'll admit I didn't watch much of the draft because my Timberwolves were playing on Thursday and all that stuff. But I did. I was kind of watching who was picking what. Overall, not Packers not included, but overall, were there any surprises that just sent the whole staff to like, whoa? That happened.
No, I don't think so. If you look at the positions that the Packers took, it's basically all defense, and then they made one concession for, hey, we need to figure out what's up with the offensive line. The one thing that some people might have thought was missing after two wide receivers left in free agency, people might have expected an incoming wide receiver, and there might be one. There might be an undrafted free agent or somebody we grab before the season starts, but I'm not surprised at all by anything I've seen. The positions are encouraging. I just don't know much about the players. I won't know squat about the players because I don't follow college football.
It's even the people who know don't know. I mean, you hear people say, and it's just, you just don't know. You hear an expert say that's a can't miss. I mean, that's 100% guaranteed that person's going to be, and then they're not. Then they're just not.
Right, exactly. Aaron Curry. There's a player named Aaron Curry. I think he was around 2003 or so. He was a linebacker, and he was, I will never, ever forget the moniker they gave him, the title they gave him, the words they used about Aaron Curry, because everybody knows it. Everybody who knows what I'm about to say knows exactly what I'm about to say. Aaron Curry, the safest player ever drafted. That's what they called him. They said that there is no way this guy goes bad because he's not going to be astounding, but he's going to be good enough to make a starting. Guy played like 8 games. Aaron Curry was the safest player ever drafted, and he just flopped. So when I see things like mock drafts, I honestly get like, wow, that's useless one day later. Like, if you're going to release a mock draft, okay, I get it. And I actually even found myself doing a mock draft kind of thing because it's an interesting question. Hey, Fernando Mendoza goes first overall. Well, who goes next? It's just a natural human curiosity. But I've never seen so much effort poured into something that just poof, useless.
Yeah.
Weeks later, mock drafts. Okay, you got number pick 3 wrong? Cool. The rest of your board is useless. Everything after the first draft you got wrong was also wrong because they had different options available. I mean, like, it's so much effort and so many hours. And, like, I get it. If you want to get your views, get your clicks the week leading up to the draft, you do a mock. But, like, I want to mock drafts. Let's mock the draft. That's what I really feel like.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why college and pro football is so popular. It's because the unpredictable nature of players. It's not like this in basketball. It's not like this in baseball. Yeah, obviously there are players that you think are going to be good, but not. But when a guy's throwing 100 miles an hour in college as a pitcher and dominating, there's a pretty good chance he's going to step into the majors if he doesn't have an injury, and he's going to be good. He's going to be a pretty good player. NBA, if there's a guy that's lighting it up in the NCAA Final Four and he's a good player, pretty good chance that he's going to step into the NBA and probably at least play and be decent. The level of superstardom will vary, of course. But in the National Football League, it just seems to be so randomly, just there's no rhyme or reason where a guy comes in and he's 300 pounds and he can run faster than most running backs, and then 2 years into it, all of a sudden, he's just it becomes the popular notion of coaches that no, he just can't do it. He can't play.
Well, and there's so many people. I mean, and they're actually, you know what comes to mind? One of the things that used to be a big catch was, hey, will this guy give up when we give him money? And actually, do you mind if I play this? I got a clip from Clemens on Friday.
I want to hear it.
So Mike Clemens was there.
I always like a Mike Clemens
clip. He was there at the draft for the first couple days, and he ended up chatting with some Packers personnel who were on site. In fact, he ended up chatting with Brian Gutekunst, Packers general manager.
Sure.
And Mike Clemens had a pair of questions that on the surface are going to sound unrelated. But listen close here to what Clemens asked Brian Gutekunst and what Gutekunst had to say.
Brian, how much has the NIL era affected your ability to determine the question, this guy needs football? And secondly, when's the last time you looked at tape of Matthew Golden before you picked him that night?
Okay, so those questions before we get Goody's answers were, first of all, how much has the NIL era, money being paid to college athletes, how much has that exposed the players who don't need the game? Those guys who catch the paycheck and are like, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm going to cruise now. Like right. Jamarcus Russell, one of the worst draft picks ever. And the other one was, how far before picking Matthew Golden in the first round last year did you last watch tape? Like, how long before the draft night pick did you last watch tape on him? And when I heard those questions, I thought, what do those have to do with each other? And I realized that those are two different parts of the same question.
Yeah,
so listen to Gutekunst's answers here.
First question, I do think, quite frankly, the NIL has exposed some of that with some of these guys earlier maybe than it would have if they weren't making money. We've always really leaned on, try to lean on guys, trying to find guys that love football, that it's more about, the competition of the game more than anything else, what comes with it. So in some ways, with these guys having the resources they have and us kind of knowing how they're using those resources and what they're doing with it can provide some insight into the guy. At the same time, they're 21, 22, 23, and if we all had that money at that age, I mean, who knows what we'd be doing, right? So I think you got to be careful of judging them too much. But I've always thought, you combine the tape kind of DNA and how they play the game with what we find out about them, it will tell you usually, how much they love being out there and how competitive they are, and that's most important. And then your second question, I'll watch tape on a few guys here and there over the course of these few days now, but it's just usually just to shore something up. But with Matthew, I think it was a good probably about a week before the draft when I was done watching him, so he wasn't a hard one.
And it took me a second to realize, Joel, but those questions are absolutely directly 100% related. Like, hey, how much does this money expose the players? And how worried were you about the last guy you took in the first round? And he said, it does expose him, and we weren't worried at all about this guy.
Yeah, and it's not a criticism of the player themselves, because just think of your life, all right? Maybe in your career you had a goal and you achieved it, or you're a high school kid and you wanted to make varsity or whatever it may be.
Yep.
There's a sense of like complacency. I'm not sure if that's the word, of when you get to what you were striving for. And so many of these players, so many people in this country, I mean, you stack $2-3 million or more, in front of them and say, this is what you're going to get paid to play for us this year. That was a goal. I mean, that was it. So now, how does their mind work moving forward now? Are they just like, man, I did it. I made it. Well, did All right, you made that part. But now what about the Packer fans and the Cowboy fans? We want you to go out and play really good now and get us what we want, which is a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Well, and you want to look at the complete other side of the coin. I love listening to good NBA players talk about shooting around in practice with Kobe or Michael, because it's been abundantly clear to me for a few years now that to be the best all time, you first have to decide that the best all time is not good enough. That's the common thread. Like, hey, I was shooting around with Kobe one time in practice and he was still there 6 hours later. It's like, yeah, the common thread here is that being the best person on the planet at that sport, they're still seeing room for improvement. The other one who comes to mind is the music artist T-Pain. I know this might sound like a joke, but T-Pain, the king of autotune, 2006 was really good to T-Pain because he was all over the pop charts and he blew it all. He blew all of his money on ridiculous stuff. He became unpopular, so the income stopped, and he ended up in a pretty rough spot selling his chains and stuff. Nowadays, he live streams, and he still makes music on live stream, but he's very clearly in a much better spot. And what he tells you is, you spend your whole life pedaling that tiny little bike up that massive hill, and you get to the top and you get your first platinum record and someone hands you $1 million and you start coasting. You feel that you can just let go and the bike will carry you down the hill. And then he paused and he said, but they don't tell you there's another hill at the bottom of the first one. There's another one and it's bigger. Yeah, and it's harder, you didn't buy a bigger bike because you wasted it on something else. And he has a really good down-to-earth breakdown. Like, yeah, imagine being handed $3 million at 21 years old. I don't know if I'd still be alive. Like, that's a scary thing to say, but really, a lot of people would experience horrifying things handed that much money at that point in their life.
I always kind of refer back to the analogy of when you wake up in the morning every day, you have to have a reason to wake up, try to have something that you're trying to do or you enjoy doing. And that's why so many, I just watched a special yesterday, Dean Martin, The Life of Dean Martin.
Oh, Dino.
And that was an example too of, someone who achieves such great success and has everything that they wanted. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's just like, well, what can I do that's better than that?
Yep.
That the next thing. And so many people, they don't have that next thing. So, yeah, it's a cycle back to the NFL. You're trying to find that player who is just excited about winning, excited about being around the guys, and just, yeah, I've got $10 million now, but you know what? Here we go. Let's go. Let's get
start.
Let's see if we can win this thing now and not just say, meeting's done. All right, I got to go. I'm going out to dinner, and then we're going partying, just stuff like that.
Surround yourself with the yes people. When I started working here, actually, and especially when I started changing over from my original job description here to doing hosting and spend a lot more time on the microphone, people would ask me about that and ask if I'm excited about it. And, I don't think I caught anybody too off guard, but I was very cognizant of this kind of thing. And I told people that, hey, I got to figure out what to do with being handed what I always wanted. I always wanted similar jobs to this one. I could call this my dream job quite easily. It is. This is what I'm doing right now. This is what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I need to look at the fact that so many people in this exact scenario have fallen on their faces, developed drug dependencies, done things that you become a different person unless you're watching yourself. And I know I'm not in Hollywood right now, but it's like, hey, I was literally handed something I wanted for a really long time. What do my heroes do with that? Well, turns out some of them had a really rough time right after that. So it's like, okay, how do I keep building on it and always seek improvement? And I think, I think I've been blessed to have a family that kind of instills that in me. There's always room for improvement. Even when you get the thing that you've wanted, you can still do better.
Yeah, can you imagine the job of these guys who are drafting players in the NFL, and they have to look at hundreds of players and try to do that analysis that you did right there?
Terrible.
All right, is this guy, is he driven? What's going on here? And they try to do it in the most appropriate of ways, and there's only certain questions you can ask, that's why it's a crapshoot. It's not guaranteed that Mendoza's even going to be in the league in 4 years. It certainly looks like he's going to be, and he's probably going to be all right, but there's been a list of tens, maybe even hundreds of quarterbacks. I was going through some old football cards yesterday. I was going through quarterbacks. I'm just like, oh, he was a quarterback back when I was 20. Never heard of him. He was a quarterback. Good enough to have a football card when I was 21. Never heard of them. But they were NFL quarterbacks who were highly touted, obviously. Never heard of them. Never heard of them.
I think of a player named Justin Blackmon, 6'1", a little over 200 pounds. Had a really solid season in the NFL right around 2012. It was right as I was getting into college. And then he fell off of the Jaguars because of some personal issues. And they didn't, you know, the way that personal issues happen in the NFL, they're quiet. You know, he's missing a game for violating the personal conduct policy.
Yeah.
Then the second time it happens, you hear that it's because he might have an alcohol problem. And then the third time it happens and he was suspended for the entire 2013 season because of the substance abuse policy, the stories start coming out that, well, Justin Blackmon went to Oklahoma, and at Oklahoma, most teams who checked on him found out that you could go find Justin every single evening at the same bar for the same 4 to 5 hour period. And this was a big open thing, and teams sent spies. There were even guys that said, yeah, the team I worked for sent me to just sit in that bar to see how many times he came in a week. And yeah, I mean, if you it's think crazy. They're not really checking on these guys, they absolutely are, which is why it blows my mind, like, and not to go there, but like that the head coach reporter thing where there's some inappropriate camaraderie mm-hmm. going on there between the Patriots head coach and a reporter. Why did we find out last week that there were pictures of that 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know until last week that they were caught doing that 6 years ago.
They were out there 6 years ago,
yeah.
But they were just muffled. Yeah.
And nobody could prove anything, so that they just got buried. But now we've got two, so the first one is visible. It's just like, yeah, there's more information than you're being presented.
Yeah.
There's always more information than is being presented to you.
They always come out in documentaries many years down the line.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's just like, the day the announcement gets made is, man, we didn't know about this. We never could have seen this coming. He wasn't this person before. And then the documentary comes out 5 years later, and the family members are like, he was always like this, and we didn't know how to stop him. It's like,
yeah.
What gives here?
And for those listening, I mentioned Dean Martin. Just go on YouTube, regular YouTube on Dean Martin. That's a documentary. Really good documentary. It's like 2 hours long. He was something else. He was back in the Rat Pack in the 50s. He was a little bit before my time, but if you're a little longer of tooth than me, and you remember Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Frank Sinatra, it's a good watch. A couple hours long.
Man, the classics are coming back around, though. I can tell because when I make advertising here, when I make ads,
yeah,
the music from the 50s, it fits so well. And that's how I can tell that it's coming back. It's coming back eventually. Dino is going to be popular again, and we're going to have a renaissance of people no longer with us, but that's going to be in the future.
It's going to be all right.
Speaking of the future, yeah, hopefully it's going to be all right. We got word from sponsors coming up next after news, weather, and sports halfway through the gray area on a Monday morning, 8:37 a.m., the 27th of April. Hopefully you're feeling all right today. We'll be right back with you on 98Q after this.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The man accused of being armed trying to run into a D.C. ballroom where President Trump was attending that event this weekend is due in court today. As for questions about why the Washington Hilton was not more locked down for the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
It's impossible for the agency to take over the entire hotel and close it down, or some people have suggested, shut off the main lobby and screen everybody coming in. From a resource perspective and just from a practical perspective, that is not something the Secret Service would do.
ABC News contributor and former Secret Service agent Don Mihalik. No talks scheduled to end the war between the U.S. and Iran.
The Strait of Hormuz remains closed, and oil prices have spiked overnight, and the cost of jet fuel also rising. The Wall Street Journal reports that budget airlines Frontier and Avelo are asking the federal government for financial assistance, and another budget carrier, Spirit, is already in talks for a bailout.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Pakistan. Britain's King Charles begins his first official state visit to the U.S. this afternoon. This is ABC News.
With Civic Media News, I'm Terry Miller. Leaders in Wisconsin's Democratic Party are denouncing one of their own supporters over a social media post about assassinating President Donald Trump. The post came from Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstad, who suggested someone should have better aim and promoted a free beer event tied to Trump's death. Bangstad is also the creator of a political action group focused on progressive issues and candidates. State Democratic leaders quickly called the comments unacceptable and said they should be taken down. Bangstad later defended his remarks and has continued to promote merchandise tied to the message. State authorities say residents are not to subsidize energy costs for data centers and other heavy consumers. That's according to the Public Service Commission's unanimous approval at Friday's meeting. We Energies will be eventually providing services to data centers in Port Washington and Mount Pleasant as they build out. Power plants and other related projects will be evaluated individually. A formal written order still needs to be issued. People across Wisconsin should be ready for possible severe storms late this afternoon and evening, with the best chance in the southwest part of the state. Forecasters say the weather could bring damaging winds, a tornado or two, and heavy rain. That rain could also create flooding concerns. Officials say there's still uncertainty about how intense the storms will be and where they will hit the hardest. And Wisconsin saw more houses sell last month compared to the same time a year ago. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says existing home sales increased 7% this March compared to March of 2025. They also say those houses sold for more money, with median prices up 6.5% to $330,000. The association says sales rebounded in March after a slow start in January and February. More news is available at civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values. Visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
A career day for the Brewers' Kyle Harrison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Back in February, the Brewers traded third baseman Caleb Durbin to the Boston Red Sox for lefty Kyle Harrison. Yesterday, Harrison struck out a career-high 12 batters in a 5-0 win over the Pirates. What made the difference? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, that he had his off-speed stuff today. It was really effective for him. And I thought that was a difference in the game. You know, the report on Harrison is, you know, go ahead and attack the heater. You're going to get a bunch. He gave him a heater in a good spot and then used his off-speed.
The Brewers have tonight off. They host the Diamondbacks tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers now begin signing their 6 new players taken in the draft. Some players from around the state. Offensive guard Billy Schroth went from Fond du Lac to Notre Dame and was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No players from the Wisconsin Badgers were drafted this year. The first time that's happened since 1978. When Dave McClain was the head coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Are you looking for a fulfilling way to spend your time and enjoy helping others? Park Manor may have the perfect job opportunity for you. Park Manor is a 100% employee-owned rehabilitation and nursing care facility located in Park Falls in the heart of the Northwoods. Their mission is to provide excellent quality care in an atmosphere of compassion, hospitality, and respect for the dignity of each person. Come explore open positions, which include RN, LPN, certified nurse aides, and positions within the support service department, offering competitive wages, a great benefits package, and incentive opportunities. To apply, visit parkmanorwy.com. That's parkmanorwy.com. Or reach out to Human Resources at 715-744-1034. 715-744-1034. Park Manor, always caring, always here.
Let's go out to Wheelway, where Lightning McDeem is standing by.
My car crash is fixed, and I will be back on the track soon. I know you all aren't out racing and crashing vehicles, but real unfortunate things do happen, and you want to choose a true and trusted company to handle your crash, dings, and deaths. Wheelway does not cut corners or put you on a long waiting list. They work with all insurance companies. Oh, and be sure to tell your tow truck driver to bring your vehicle to Wheelway, because we do things the right way. It's worth the drive wherever you're at.
Wheelway Auto Body and Collision Center on Ridge Avenue on the hill in Fifield.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
This weather update is brought to you by Northwoods Realty. Find your dream home or pick from over 60 cozy vacation rentals, because no matter the weather, they've got you covered.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high in the upper 50s. More rain and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 37, and the rain could be heavy. We're talking a half inch to an inch or more of rain today through tonight. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 50.
There we go. There it is.
I think it's, it always sounds like the beginning of some kind of Mr. Miyagi's.
Yes.
Some kind of a kung fu movie.
Yes, that's Daniel-san realizing that the moves weren't useless the whole time. That's just the, that's this, actually, you know what that is? That's Mr. Miyagi after he's cried and sang for his wife. And you get that really emotional moment. And it's like, all right, now we need some introspective sounds.
Yeah.
The pan flute's coming out. It's the gray area, Monday morning. 98Q, 8:45 a.m., hanging out with Joel.
Thanks to everybody for the birthday wishes last week. And I had a line that I think was perfect to describe when you get older. And I turned 60 last Thursday. I think getting older can be described to me as this, is you're always close to pulling a hamstring. That is a definition of getting older. Not that you did, not that you're not still functioning well, but there's moments where you're just like, oh, I got a straight, oh, I got, oh, okay, all right, it didn't pull, I'm good. I think that's the definition of getting older. You just got to be a little bit aware that things are starting to give a little bit.
Joel dehydrated Karnick over here. Just got to get you some electrolytes, I think, to prevent the cramping issues.
Yeah, I think so. I also realized, there's many things that people relate to the beginning of spring. You know, they think, you know, I see the first robin, you know, the first dandelion pops up in my yard, whatever it may be. To me, I think that the beginning of spring is a neighborhood, is a regional thing, because spring does not begin until you step outside and you hear somebody's lawnmower.
Yep. As soon as you said someone else.
Somewhere. Just like, oh. And you may be the one who has to fire it up first, because I'm getting close to that. I haven't heard one yet, but I'm getting close. My yard, I have a front yard that's got pretty good soil. So yeah, that you step outside and you hear that, you're just like, well, that's not an ATV. Well, that's not a brap in a truck. That's a push lawnmower.
Somebody's... Do I hear the steady drone of regular lawn maintenance? Do I hear a man wearing radio headphones riding around just burn?
Yeah, and the zero turn radius mowers have taken the level of lawn care to a level of cool that I never had when I was a kid.
Yeah,
because it was push. That awkward turnaround, you're spinning it, you're flipping it.
You're pushing the handle down so you can rotate it on the back wheels and you do the shimmy.
Yeah, you're one hand in it or whatever it might be. The turn is always dangerous because you could have got an errant pine cone or whatever. But now with the zero turn, I mean, you're just, and then you're just like, weep, like it's like a Star Trek door in, it's something. The first time I saw a zero turn radius, I thought to myself, am I in a Star Wars movie? Is this like CP3PO, R2-D2? What am I doing here?
You know, I'm thinking they've kind of ruined a certain rite of passage, a certain stepping stone on the path to aging that probably, and again, stereotypically, it's going to be young men, but young women too. I know you're out there wondering. I know you go by a baseball diamond and you see those straight rows and you see it how many times without really questioning it. But then about that third or fourth time you drive by a baseball diamond or that perfectly manicured lawn and you think, wow, those rows are so straight. And then the thought occurs to you, but what do they do at the end of the rows? What do you do, like a big loop, like a hairpin turn, so you can line yourself back up again? On a traditional lawnmower, you have to do some weird stuff to achieve perfect rows.
Right, at least
in the middle, they're straight, but at the end, you've got these big loopy things. And then you watch a zero-point turn mower, it's like, oh, there's that question answered in a super unfun fashion. Like,
and am I the only one? Am I the weirdo? Answer this later, not right now.
Good catch.
But am I the weirdo where sometimes I'll mow and you'll see, you kind of stop, you kind of look, you're done and you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that looks nice. But then you got to get back to the garage. So the garage is on the other side of that perfectly mowed piece of yard. So are you the person who just says, Forget it. I'll just go right through the middle of it. I'll mess up the perfect rose. Or do you dance around the outside and leave the perfect rose in place for all the world to see?
You know, honestly, I haven't ever done it on purpose, but I think without realizing it, I'm a dance to the edge kind of guy.
Yeah, I am too.
The thing is, though, I should qualify that it's not any sort of patting myself on the back, because the way that, especially, like, my lawn is tiny. I have a yard, but it's very small. It's not like a fenced-in city plot, but it's pretty small, and it's a rectangle, so it's very easy and quick to mow, and there's no slope changes or anything, so you're just full speed the whole time. My dad's lawn, much bigger, much slopier, much more trees. The thing is, though, it's in a couple separate pieces that are none of them too terribly big. So once I finish the piece I'm on, I skedaddle over to the edge, but that's usually no more than like 30, 40, 50 yards. So like, it's actually like there's three sections of lawn that must be mowed, each with their own little exit plan right at the end. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
You have to have an exit plan. You're
yes.
Right.
In a post in the middle of my dad's yard is a path to the closest staircase. You know, those things you find in every hospital is like, here's your fire exit plan. Uh-huh. There's one of those at my dad's in his central front yard.
Yeah.
Just in case. It's for future lawnmowers who aren't me.
We all have our own little idiosyncrasies when mowing lawn. You may not have admitted it right up until this point, but we all have them.
I got some idiocy too, I'm afraid.
Or how about when the lawn gets longer and you know there's going to be clumping of the grass? You know there's going to be clumping, and you don't really want that on there. So I'm the type of person where I now will intentionally mow so I blow it all into the middle.
Yeah,
and then I can just rake it up rather than spend the next half hour going around raking up clumps in the yard or whatever that may be. So if you have that longer one, or if it's a wet day and you sense it, you sense the clumping's going to be an issue, just like, okay, all right, I need to rework my strategy here today, all right, for this lawn.
Well, our basic strategy, the basic Gunderson approach to lawn mowing actually solves that particular ill, Joel. I'll share it with you. You can tell I'm excited to give you this info. It's going to be exactly what dozens and dozens and
Let
dozens
me grab a
of
pen.
other people
Let me grab a
do.
Pen here. Hang on.
Well, for us, we just do it so you aim the spout, the spray of grass clippings, you aim it inward.
Yeah.
And so usually I think it's coming out of the left. So oftentimes you go around the yard a couple times counterclockwise and blow grass inward. But before you pile it up too much on itself, after usually three laps, maybe four if you're feeling a little zest, you turn around and you reverse course. And then you start blowing the grass out into the mowed portion that you finished.
Okay.
And then you just keep doing that. So you end up with a nice even layer of grass clippings over the entire yard.
Sure.
And it dries quickly. It doesn't, I mean, if it's so rainy and wet that it clumped anyway, you can't prevent that, and you shouldn't have mowed that day. That's your fault, you fool. How do you have dignity? Why? You might want a dry day, but if the grass gets too long, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
mow shaming.
Mow sh-
It's a new word. It could be a new phrase.
Lawn shaming. Wait, is that how an HOA starts? You start with some lawn shaming, and then you just let it build from there. You'll suddenly have a homeowners association.
My wife and I were on a walk the other day, and we saw something that I won't even begin to describe what it is. But I,
you will off air now.
I told my wife. I said there needs to be a sign with an arrow pointing that way that just says Karen. It's all that needs to be done.
So I'm guessing that there was another yard sign with some capital letters on it, maybe an exclamation point, I had to guess.
No comment. No comment.
If you have a yard sign with an exclamation point on it and it's not within 1 month of any particular vote, people notice. I think that's the blanket statement I can make.
Yes.
People notice. It does its job. You put it out there to get read, and people are reading it. That's for sure.
They're reading it already. And we're getting close to garage sale season. We'll talk about garage sale rules moving forward. Not quite there yet, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Could be a two gray areas talking about garage sale etiquette.
I think so. Well, I think we need like a primer, like a what's our plan this season, and a plan of attack. You know, kind of a we'll make a sand table and figure out the slopes of the land and the best angles of attack, and then afterwards a retrospective, a success rate, because you guys have been living, breathing rarefied air when it comes to the other people's stuff world of merchandise. Yeah. You've been getting yard sale stuff untouched. You get other people's stuff, but it's brand new.
12:30 today, it's coming.
12th. Oh, got another box. How many in this one, do you know?
I don't know. My wife saw it packed, and she just said there were some larger items in there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all she said.
We indulge Joel's problem tomorrow on 98Q Country.
So as people are preparing for your garage sales, we will have garage sale etiquette coming up soon on the Gray Area. And let me just ask you one question about garage sales. When you leave a garage sale and you have not bought anything, do you feel a little bit bad? A little bit? Do you feel like as you're walking away from that garage sale, that the person who's sitting behind the card table from 1974 with two lawn chairs that should have been the free box 10 years ago, you feel their laser eyes in the back of your head as you're walking away?
Sometimes. It's definitely a complex dynamic because that's my initial reaction. You know, my gut reaction is like, wow, I just left a yard sale with nothing. And then I removed the blame from myself because it's like, you know what? I brought low standards to this party and still found nothing. How much blame can I really share? And so, hey, if Gray leaves your yard sale empty-handed, it's like a Yelp review. No, it's not personal. It's just I look for specific things. You know, if you don't have, well, nowadays I'm probably looking for your clothing for something I can dye. You know, I want to
change the colors.
Oh man, I had a bad dyeing experience this weekend. I had the first true fail.
He's referring to clothes, by the way.
Yes, I've been dyeing a lot lately, doing a lot of dyeing. Fabric dye. I found out I really enjoy dyeing articles of clothing different colors because it kind of creates a personalization to them. It also was going really well. Like this jacket that I'm wearing right now, it looks like it came off the shelf this way.
It does, yeah.
And I'm saying that not as patting myself on the back. I'm saying it out of confusion because the one I did yesterday does not look like this. It looks like a kid with a spray bottle went at it.
We're not seeing the failures.
I'll be posting those too. I don't want to live an Instagram life. I want people to know the truth, and that's that I goofed up this weekend.
Quick garage sale tip. If you're doing a garage sale and you got a kid, young kid or grandkid, and they want to make money, set up a lemonade stand right next to the checkout. As an adult, you just can't turn it down. Even if you're diabetic and you can't even drink it, you'll still pay a buck for it just to give that kid a joy.
That's true.
It's true. Do it.
That's an undercapitalized market right there. The combo yard sale lemonade stand.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
Those kids are going to be goblins with their 50-cent charges and everything like that. Oh, hey, we were chatting a little bit about the draft. There was one particular player. Did I call out the player the Packers grabbed last?
No.
Did you see that we drafted the first kicker taken on the board this year?
In the seventh round?
I think he was the first kicker drafted this year. Nobody grabbed one earlier than the seventh. I think it was the seventh.
Really?
Might have been the sixth, matter of fact. I'll have to double check. It was the... it doesn't say here. But our new kicker, and God, I hope he makes the roster. His name is Trey Smack.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! It's perfect. And I thought it's a good thing he's not a quarterback or like a receiver or something. There's like three positions that wouldn't have been great.
S-M-A-C-K?
S-M-A-C-K. Oh, Trey Smack.
Down.
If you're talking Packer football, you're always talking smack because Trey's in the house. Oh, God. PR, Packers PR team. We'll talk about royalties for that one later.
They're in a meeting right now. The Packer PR, public relations, the guys who put all the shirts out on the Packers.com website, they are in a meeting right now, I guarantee you.
Oh, man. Trey Smack, welcome to Green Bay. A bunch of undrafted free agents, too. And maybe Trey won't stick, but if he's the only player who makes the roster, I'll be just fine with it.
And if he misses a field goal at the end of a Packer Viking game, my line will be, are you talking smack to me?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be perfect. It will be perfect. Joel, thank you for joining me this morning.
Yes, sir.
Monday the 27th, it's been the Gray Area. We'll archive this on 98qcountry.com. Check out the podcast section and stay tuned. We've got top of the hour news, weather and sports coming up after a commercial break. And then your next keyword approaches. My kind of Friday night, we're sending two listeners to see Luke Combs at Lambeau Field in mid-May, May 15th, plus gas money, and we're going to help you get some dinner before the show, too. Stay tuned. The next keyword coming up at about 9:05 right here on 98Q Country.
From harsh winters to hot summer.